Good Friday. Today is January the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take a look out in the backyard and garden today, talk about fruit trees, in particular peach trees, and some things you may need to do now to help prevent some fungal diseases later in the spring. We'll have all the details on that coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look this Friday morning at the backyard and garden, probably a time most people aren't thinking about things we can do outside, especially with the recent weather, but this is the time we should start thinking about next year's fruit crop. To be successful with peaches and nectarines, the critical time is actually now in January. There's particularly obnoxious foliar diseases, commonly called peach leaf curl, that's caused by a fungal pathogen, and this fungal foliar affliction can defoliate peach and nectarines on both ornamentals as well as regular fruit trees. The fungus is responsible for creating strange and weird contorted puckered up yellow to red purplish deformed leaves. Now, strangely enough, peach leaf curl fungus can also infect young green twigs or even shoots, causing swollen, stunted, or sometimes the carotid colored shoots with curled leaves at their tips. With peach leaf curl, the infected leaves develop multiple raised, sort of blister-like lesions on the surface, and these lesions eventually turn to a powdery grayish white or even a yellowish brown before the entire leaf declines, turns yellow, and then falls off the tree. Once the infected leaves drop, the disease does not spread further during the current growing season. Now, the fallen leaves, though, turn brown, and those infected, blistered leaf areas will produce powdery gray spores. These spores are then blown by the wind to peach twig surfaces, and they'll remain there, and that's where they actually overwinter. Spores of the peach leaf curl fungus overwinter on the surface of those, in the bark crevices, and on the bud scales of peach and nectarine trees. And then once the spring comes around, these overwintering spores multiply during periods of cool, moist weather. Spores are dispersed over the tree surface on sort of a film of water to ultimately cover and move into the swelling buds. This then coincides nicely with the peach leaf and fruit buds developing, beginning then to swell at a microscopic level. Those same conditions will slow foliar expansion, allowing additional time for that fungal infection to occur on developing leaf tissue. Now, rain is necessary for peach leaf curl fungus infections to occur. On the other side, dry weather during bud break and during the bud swelling limits peach leaf curl infections. Peach leaf curl fungus infections typically occur on the new tender plant tissues during bud swell, and sort of a 50 to 70 degree temperature range is optimum for those infections to occur. Now, peach leaf curl is a common disease of peach and nectarine trees, as we've said, throughout the Midwest and eastern United States, where the disease is severe, both fruit yield and quality are reduced, but the overall tree's vigor is impacted because of the early leaf loss. Peach leaf curl is often prevalent after relatively mild winters due to an increase in survivability of those overwintering fungal spores, so this is why control measures such as dormant season fungicide applications must thoroughly cover all branches and twigs to kill the overwintering spores before they begin to swell in the spring. The peach leaf curl fungus is not difficult to control, but timing is what's important. A single fungicide application using chlorothalonil or a fixed copper fungicide made in the fall after leaves have dropped or in the spring before the buds swell will control that disease. So if you wait until spring, the application must be made before those buds start to swell up. So we need to, this time of year, if we didn't make that application in the fall, really be watching the weather forecast and try and find that right time when it's warm enough that we can get out and spray that fungicide over the entire tree, the branches, the twigs, the trunk of that tree, before we get it to start warming up in the spring and those buds start to swell, resulting fungicide sprays for peach leaf curl being ineffective once that swelling occurs. So once the fungus enters the leaf, that disease cannot be controlled, and so now is the time we need to be paying attention and find a window of opportunity to make the application. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Sort of look back to Christmas and Christmas trees. If you had a fresh cut tree, probably took it out of your house by now or will be soon if you have not done already. There are different ways, though, that you can reuse or recycle those real Christmas trees once the display is done for the holiday season. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Are you one of those real Christmas tree owners who are taking down the tree the day after Christmas? Regardless if your end of display date is then or well into January, South Dakota State University Extension expert Robin Butterbaugh says there are many ways to reuse and recycle the tree instead of just taking it to the landfill. One idea is
have a Christmas tree pickup after Christmas. So you can put your Christmas tree on the side of the road and it gets picked up by the waste management company and then composted.
She recognizes that it is not an option in some communities. So if that's the case,
you could still chip the tree and use it for mulch if you have a chipper.
Mulch that can be spread on your flower beds and around trees and shrubs, or shared with gardening and landscaping neighbors. Another option, using the Christmas tree as outdoor habitat for wildlife, such as winter shelter for birds or a reef for fish in a pond. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.